Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of RP Grinders. I am your way too sober to do this host, Breakman, and with me are Eric and Moria. What's up, Kat?
Why didn't I grab some plum wine before we did this?
What?
Why plum wine in particular?
Because I like it.
I've had that. It's so sweet.
I like the sweeter stuff.
I don't know. It just feels like I'm drinking. You know, I'm drinking simple syrup or something.
Yeah,
I'll surprise Frank with that next week. Oh well, he's probably gonna listen to this, so it's not a surprise. Ooh.
I don't like alcohol.
I'll get a different alcohol then, huh?
And since this episode is without Frank, this is going to be an awesome one.
This is the best.
And
episode
I'm sure.
Ever.
And I'm sure Frank is retroactively exiling me right now. As he's listening to this in our
guide. Lucky we can get someone to guest with us tonight.
Yeah, I thought Chris wanted to do it with us, but I never heard from him. So, I guess we should probably just get into the news and go from there.
All right, from the site that has a stupid name and always misspells things
and has bad grammar.
That's why it always misspells.
Well, not just in the spelling, but other.
That's spelling, not grammar. Anyway, moving on.
co-op action RPG Knights and Bikes adds PS4 to its release systems. Developer Foam Sword posted on the PlayStation blog that their game, Knights and Bikes, will be coming to PS4 upon release. And it apparently uses a program called SharePlay, which I don't know what that is. But players will be able to play the game co-op with an online friend.
Yeah, SharePlay is a functionality on the PS4 if you have Plus, where you can share your screen with another user. Mm. And if you want, you can use it for playing basically you're playing local co-op over the internet. Where you can either give control over to the person you're sharing with, and they can, you know, actually, and you can actually have them earn trophies and shit for you if you want, and they'll stick.
Mm-hmm. I can't do this. Do it for me.
Yeah. Hey, I've done that, and I'm not even remotely ashamed of it. I know a guy who's like crazy at Metal Gear stuff, so I had him do something in Metal Gear Solid Ground Zero for me.
If you can't beat a dungeon or something, then you can have someone else do it. That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Too bad you can't skip ahead. I mean, you paid for the fucking game. It'd be nice if there's a spot you're stuck on to say, hey, you know.
It's not a book. You don't get to skip a chapter.
I don't care.
Anyways, it says it's an action RPG that takes place in the tourist town of Pensfurzy. Pensfurzy?
Okay.
That's a weird name. During the 80s, a pair of young girls, Nessa and Delmeza, accidentally stir up strange spirits that possess the townsfolk. To turn back the spirits, the two girls must use their childhood toys, wit, and help of a goose and a pickled knight's head. Why is knight pickled?
I have no idea what's going on here, but I gotta tell you, I love the name of this.
I was like, I heard every single word that you said. I didn't understand any of it. Like, I understood every single, or rather, I should say, I understood every single word. I did not understand one bit of that sentence.
I understood what you said. It didn't make any sense.
Pickled knight's head, that what? What is a pickled knight?
Well, no, I'm guessing it's a knight that's been decapitated and his head's been stuck in formaldehyde.
That's creepy, if that's so.
Well, it could either be creepy or cartoonish. You know, you could play it straight or you could do it kind of a Beetlejuice kind of thing.
Maybe they're like the heads from Futurama.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyways, with that,
we should move on to the next article, which I'll
your
go ahead
turn,
and read.
Break, man.
Coming to us live from Go Nintendo. Ooh, here we go. Chronicles of Time, a Chrono Trigger arrangement album. We are the team behind 2013's acclaimed Secret of Mana tribute album, Spectrum of Mana. Chronicles of Time is our highly anticipated tribute to Chrono Trigger, 5 discs and 75 tracks long, 2 years in the making. Good God. The project's worldwide collaboration between over 200 artists within VGM communities such as Dwelling of Duels, Overclocked Remix, and many live bands.
I'm surprised Dwelling of Duels is still around.
They're still around. Go ahead.
Who expertly reimagined the beloved Super NES era RPG soundtrack originally composed by Yasunori Mitsuda. Nobu Uematsu and Noriko Matsueta. Okay. The album's 5 discs were farted by Chrono Trigger's Time Errors. Yeah, I don't think we need to read any more of that, but yeah, so that's, wow.
I don't think Noriko did all that many tracks in the game. It was mostly Matsuda with a little bit of Uematsu.
Yeah, it's like, I think Uematsu did like maybe 3 or 4 tracks, if that, but it was almost all Mitsuda's show. anyway, but yeah, I listened to the, you know, they have a little sampler thing up, and honestly, I wasn't impressed. I mean, most of what I was hearing where it's like, okay, we're going to rearrange.
Well, it was a medley, so.
Well, not just that. It's like, I'm listening to it, and it's like, I'm hearing, there was at least two of the, like, there was like 5 different tracks or something in there, but 2 of them were like, let's do the entire thing, all with lead guitars. I'm like, oh God, it's like, it's the 90s all over again. It's like, remember the minibuses? Like, this is basically what they sounded like. And like, this is not what I want to hear. Yeah, I wanted to hear something that,
I'm sure Dale Norris tracks a little
bit. I liked
good.
Minibuses.
Yeah. Well, they were.
Stimage is kind of.
They were.
Know,
yeah, it's like they're very much Stimage. Products of their time, let's put it that way.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
It's very unrefined. But. Excuse me. I think Smooth McGroove does 1 track for this, but there's also another there's another tribute album coming out for Final Fantasy VIII.
Hmm.
I think it's called Successor or Succession.
Yeah. I might buy that, but it's like $30, so I don't know when I'll get around to that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, and that one's out on iTunes right now as well. I haven't had a chance to listen to that, but you know, Final Fantasy VIII also has some really great music. But anyway, let's move along then.
I gotta say, like.
I wonder how much it cost them to get the license to do that music and sell it.
I don't know how they, I don't know how that works for what amounts to a Dojin album, like an American Dojin album. I don't know how that all plays out. It'd be interesting to find out. Anyway,
Sony Square.
Maybe I could contact them.
Yeah, yeah.
Get review code and do interviews.
Yeah, that, I mean, sure, it's relevant to what we do, so
yeah.
Go for it.
So I've always wanted to hear, like, when it comes to that, like, how's licensing it and fair use come into play or whatever.
I gotta say, like, the gamer groups, like, they have the best band names by far. They blow away any real, like, any of the mainstream band names.
Like what?
8-Bit Disaster, Descendants of Erdrick. I mean, those are pretty awesome names. Just saying. Just looking at some of them on here.
Moving on.
Nobody agree. Okay, fine.
Your turn, Moria.
All right. Coming to us live from Silicon Era. The BlazBlue prequel visual novel, X-Blade Code, Embryo, which is terrible, is coming to PCs. Araxis and Arc System Works are porting X-Blade Code's Embryo, formerly a PlayStation 3 and PlayStation Vita exclusive, to PCs. This prequel to BlazBlue takes place 150 years before the events of the first game.
And it's average as hell.
Yeah, and it's like, an X-Blade Code, Embryo, what you read determines the course of the story. So, stick with the Hitchhiker's Guide. It follows Toya, a young man who can hear strange things, and S, a small female soldier who appears and protects him. This visual novel has over 10 endings in what you do, and don't pay attention to in the TOI system.
Toy.
Determines which one you'll end up getting. X-Blade Code Embryo will be released on Steam on March 1st, 2016. It is immediately available for the PlayStation 3 and Vita. The price has not been mentioned, but the console and handheld versions are $19.99 in the PlayStation Store, which is a ludicrous price. I played the demo of this, and it was painful.
Why is she small? Like, what do they mean? Do they mean she's a midget?
She's
an inch tall or something? Like, she's an incredibly shrinking woman?
She's like 5 inches. She's like 5 feet tall.
Oh.
That's why she's tiny.
So she's kind of just within the spectrum of a woman's height.
Yeah.
They should have said short.
She's
not
tiny
small.
In proportion to her breast size.
Well, there you go.
She's got rather large breasts.
Yeah.
Well, this is anime. We already knew that.
Yeah. They should have said short instead of small.
Petite.
Petite would have been worked better, yeah. Because when you say small like that, I'm thinking, like, was she a midget?
Like,
no. Yeah. Basically,
she, you carry her in your pocket with you all the whole game? Like, just, hey, get back in there, bitch.
Yeah, so Tinkerbell is essentially what you're describing. Because
I think we're a misogynist already, Breakman.
What?
Anyway. Some people generalize the entire show because of one person saying a misogynist remark like bitch.
Okay. Anyway, Eric, next story.
Next story is also from Silicon Era, but this is about a game called Himeko Sutori and how it takes 100 named characters to war and it's tactical RPG action. And it puts players in charge of a large army divided into smaller parties of 5 or 6 that a player can move and control. And it's tactical gameplay. And the sprite work in this game is a little odd. They kind of look like, all like paperclip characters.
Yeah, they do look like they're paper. They look like a sheet of paper on a 3D background. Sort of like Paper Mario. But
yeah, that's what I was going to say, like a Paper Mario kind of thing.
But I don't think that's what they wanted to look like.
And it says all members of the party's player's army are known and named characters which have been divided into smaller units that all move and attack together. So it's kind of like Dragon Force. But it says these are inspired from developers' love of Final Fantasy Tactics, but also need to feel like a part of larger battles.
That's interesting. I would like to try this. I would like to play this.
Make a story problem.
Whoa, whose vibrator just went off? It wasn't mine. I just checked.
That was someone messaging me on Twitter.
Is it on a timer?
No, my phone buzzed because someone messaged me on Twitter.
Anyways, it says it promises a grand story and a detailed customizable characters to go along with its large scale battles. And a Kickstarter and a demo have been announced. No set release date this time. I'm glad Frank's not here.
Yeah, this looks like something I would be really interested in, to be honest with you. I mean, I can overlook like graphical problems. I care more about gameplay than anything. I'm not Frank.
Yeah, well,
ooh, that's
Frank
right, Frank. I know
that
you're listening.
Yeah, Frank doesn't care about gameplay. Remember, he likes Dragon Quest
graphics. Yes, he likes graphics and graphics
and games that aren't on Kickstarters.
Now the funny thing is, I guess maybe that's why he likes Dragon Quest VIII so much, because it didn't look as, you know, it looked, you know, semi-decent compared to, say, every previous Dragon Quest game. So maybe that was him being the graphics whore.
Yes.
Maybe,
yes.
You think?
It's true. Yeah, because it looked better than 9. I've never played 10, but 10, from what I've seen, I'd say 8 probably still looks better than 10.
I haven't seen
9
or
10. 10 does look better.
But I've seen images of 10. I've never seen, like, in motion type thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's move on, since I suddenly killed everything. I don't know what I did.
Yeah. Momentum.
Come to us live.
We got some bad news in this one.
The Wii U version of Hyper Light Drifter is currently in limbo. I'm sorry, is currently in limbo.
To be honest, though, I didn't know Wii U version was being made. When this was first announced, it was strictly for PS4 and PC, and that's all I know.
As to what happened to Team Rights, we had information about our engine 2 years back when we announced support for the platform. This had assured us we could port to the Wii U with relatively little hassle by now. However, due to ongoing internal contractual issues beyond our control between the platform holder and the engine developer, we just don't know when or if this situation will have a good resolution. Wow, they just blamed. They're like, bus, these two are behind it. Run them over. We're looking into the options.
I appreciate the honesty, to be honest. Like, none of this,
I know.
Well, Nintendo is notorious at getting things out there.
Oh.
But
let me finish.
But it's probably more the engine developer's fault.
We are looking into options available and doing what we can to help push the issue, including posting about it here. Like I said, they just threw everybody under the bus. So if you want this game, send some harassment.
Go harass these guys.
Yeah.
The biggest thing here to note is it says, well, why don't you continue reading, Break?
Surveys to be sent out to Hyper Light Drifter's Kickstarter backers will still include the option to receive the Wii U version. However, in case that Hyper Light Drifter doesn't come to Wii U, the team says it will offer a key for another platform.
I think I even read the Kickstarter update, and it says, like, even if the Wii U version does come out, you can still take the option to get another key for the other platform, and then when the Wii U version does come out, you can get a free key for that.
Yeah. No, I mean, and I appreciate, and I mean, they're handling this extremely well. Like, here's the problem, and here's why it's not happening, and here's what we're going to try to do about it. If it works out, great. If not, you're not left with nothing.
And, by the way, that you can pre-order it now on goodoldgames.com.
Yeah, I mean, it looks really good. I mean, I'm getting kind of tired of the super low resolution pixel aesthetic, but it does look nice.
I think the reason most developers go for that is because they just don't have the money for anything else.
What the thing is, what's interesting though is that
or it allows them to have a high frame rate.
The thing is with like that super low pixel, you know, art stuff, it's actually really hard to do.
I know.
And like you would think that it's much more time intensive to do that style of 2D art than to just do something more like, say, like on the level of like Guilty Gear. Like it's high res, it's, you know, drawing, but it's not super detailed. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like not like a ton of little details and stuff that like in heavy shading and stuff like that has to be, you know, done every single frame. So, I don't know. It just seems like that's a...
It could also be like a performance type of thing.
Yeah. I don't know.
Hey, I have no problems with my performance.
Games,
oh, sorry, what were you talking about?
Unless using, like, super high-res sprite art, then it's going to probably tank your performance a little.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you see stuff like Blaze Blue, and stuff works fine, so...
Yeah. I'm surprised that Guilty Gear Xrd worked as good as it does on my PC, because I was worried that the 3D engine would
cell shading is always less CPU intensive than like heavy duty like specular lighting and that kind of shit.
Because I tried playing Street Fighter 4 on my PC once, and it was not a good idea.
No.
But then again, I wasn't using this one; I was using my old PC, and I couldn't do it at all unless I played in training mode, where the background's this really basic background.
Mm.
Then it was playing at 60, but anything else just completely dropped all the way to like 15.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a lot of like fun.
Then again, it might have been Capcom's lack of optimizations for that game. I don't know what Ultra was like.
I'm not sure. I mean, I think the Ultra dropped a lot of like DRM stuff, so.
Mm.
All right.
Apparently, 5's having a lot of performance issues on the PC, but not just the PC, but server troubles.
Yeah.
Console.
Which is pretty.
And then it's also missing content, so it's like they're delivering the game to you piecemeal.
Yeah, basically, that you're paying for a really high profile early access game. And this is essentially what it boils down to.
And fuck you, Capcom, for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't be the first, and they won't.
And I was like, all these great companies from the 80s and 90s are really turning to shit these days.
It's like they don't know what to do with themselves anymore, so they're just doing whatever, and yeah, it's biting them in the ass.
Like Sega, Capcom, Konami, fuck Konami, thank you. Hashtag fuck Konami, everyone.
No, that could be a stinko later.
Capcom and Konami are my two favorites too. Like, growing up, like, in order, Capcom, Konami, like, the best. But, yeah, hard time to fall upon as far as
who's next?
Creativity, yeah, I guess.
I am. All right. More from Silicon Era. Tales of Symphonia, fan-made fix. Stop stuttering frame rates, the 720p resolution lock, and the touchscreen laptop crashes. It's been over 2 weeks since it's released, and Tales of Symphonia is still a mess. A number of technical issues plagued the JRPG, some of them even keeping people from playing on some PCs. Durante already released a Gedo Sato plugin update that removed the 720p resolution lock. Now, Kaldian has released a suite of other fixes, including the resolution lock fix for the game. Kaldayan's additional fixes addressed some rather serious problem with Tales of Symphonia. Chief among them was a problem that made the game crash when it ran on touchscreen laptops. With the mod applied, it won't crash. Yay! Aside from the crashing being resolved, most of the Tales of Symphonia fixes make the game look better. It remains locked at 30 frames per second, but no longer stutters. The resolution lock is still removed and doesn't have user interface clipping. Durante and Kaldayan both helped make the game look like it used to, with Durante adding outlines and Kaldayan making sure enemies rendered properly. It now is compatible with Reshade, with up to 7 third-party DLLs able to be added. MSAA anti-aliasing support has been added. Finally, some of the Tales of Symphonia loading issues have been addressed. I don't know what that said. Badly written sentence. Texture caching is added with the mod to decrease loading times between menus. Tales of Symphonia is immediately available for Windows PCs. Instructions on how to install the mod are available on Steam and must be followed exactly due to the VM Protect anti-piracy measures in the game.
Well, these guys just get together and form like a QA like group.
Yeah, no.
They could be hired by companies to fix issues.
You would think. It honestly amazes me they haven't done this already, but it's kind of astounding that something that is apparently as shoddy as the Tales of Symphonia PC port is can make it to market.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not as if the resources aren't there to keep this shit from happening. I mean, every single time it happens, it's just more and more, you know, fuck you from the companies.
They don't really give a shit at all.
When a game is officially fixed, do, like, internal companies use modding like this to fix them, or do they actually do hard coding?
I have no idea how it all works. But, I mean, this kind of stuff keeps happening over and over again. Like, I just don't get it. I mean, how can you do this kind of stuff and keep
Probably won't be long until the 60 FPS patch is made, too.
Yeah. I mean, but it's like, I think it's this guy Durant, or however you want to say it.
Jimmy Durant?
Like those, yes. But like a game comes out, it has this horrible thing, and he has this horrible problem with it. And this guy comes along, I think he fixed one of these major issues he fixed in 15 minutes.
It's like they didn't do any kind of testing.
Exactly.
It's like releasing it, and yeah, it's done. we'll be lucky if the game doesn't crash.
I mean, it's kind of disgusting. It's anti-consumer to willingly release this kind of stuff onto the market.
Who did they get to, like, program this stuff?
Well, the thing is like they treat it like, you know, people treat bad movies. It's like, we'll just push it out there and hope it'll coast on its name or whatever, or an ad
or
push or whatever.
Or actor.
Yeah, so people will get our money before people realize that it's garbage.
And the weird thing is, like, Namco was getting better at this, so why did they suddenly slip back to Dark Souls? Because I don't remember hearing anything bad about the Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm 3 Wilbur's and Revolution issues.
I don't understand why companies do this. Too. Like, this is shooting your customer base in the foot, basically. Like, if you offend your customers and they buy one bad game from you, do you think they're going to buy another?
It's like, do you really need to add DRM to this game? Because Steam is the DRM.
Mm.
You add a DRM on top of that.
Well, Steam's DRM is child's play to get around. And literally, it's like the instant it hits, like
DRM, you used something that was basically similar to the adware.
Not necessarily. Denuvo doesn't work that way.
Well, the thing is that it supposedly created an EXE for every time the game was opened.
Yeah. But this may have worked that way, but that's not how Denuvo works anyway, at least. But I don't know. It just irritates me. It's like, I'm not even a PC gamer, and this kind of shit irritates me.
Yeah, it's bad customer service.
Mm-hmm.
I hear apparently the port of Danganronpa was actually pretty good, but that's largely because the developers did it themselves.
Yeah.
Spike Chunsoft knows how to program.
Yeah, that's just... This is the kind of thing that's going to lead to another market crash. People, you're going to destroy consumer confidence in, you know, or you're going to see a lot of companies just fold because they pull this kind of shit, and you'll see, you know, people just, you know, consumers will just lose confidence in them. It's like, well, I'm not buying that. I mean, at this point, you'd have to be a fool to buy a, you know, a WB Interactive game on PC.
Mm.
I mean, that's sad.
You should probably just not buy WB anything.
That's,
they're fucking up their DVD releases.
Yeah, well, but the sad thing is...
JoJo.
Releases who?
Do you know JoJo's Bizarre Adventure?
Heard yeah.
It's like, first of all, they bring it to the U.S., but they didn't do a Blu-ray release, and they didn't advertise it, so no one bought it, so now they're probably not going to do Volume 3, and who knows when Volume 2 is coming out.
Mm.
Or rather, Series 2 and Series 3.
Hmm. That's... what is going on? Like, is somebody asleep at the wheel at the top of the company or something? Is he out playing golf all day long and not paying attention to what's going on?
Hookers and blow.
Hookers and blow, yeah. Blow. Well, that's understandable, then. He gets passed.
Yeah. As long as your reason is good.
Yeah, yeah. That's an excuse we'll accept on RP Grinders. But none of that golf and shit. If you're out playing golf, we'd have to have you beaten. So let's move on to the next story.
What
about happier story? Ooh. What about Mario Golf?
I never played Mario Golf. I remember Hot Shots Golf was fun, though. I only ever played the first one.
Hot Shots Golf was fun. You know what my favorite, like, golf game was? And it not barely a golf game, but it was that Kirby game. It's more of a puzzle game than a golf game.
Kirby's Dream Course?
Yeah, Dream Course, that's it.
Yeah, and you know what? Another golf game that I remember people always said was really good was Neo Turf Masters on the Neo Geo.
Mm.
I never played it. I mean, I don't like golf, but I always heard that was a really good one.
I like going to the driving range, but I don't like playing golf as itself.
The most bizarre concept for a golf game that I ever have seen would be from a game called Golf Battler UE that was released on the Sega Mega Drive in Japan. And it's like a golfing RPG.
What was that extreme golf game?
I think it was called Outlaw Golf.
Outlaw, yeah, you're right. That was it. Outlaw Golf, yeah. Not very good.
It's like Redneck Golf or something.
Yeah, it was kind of fun, slightly, on the first one. And then they made more. I don't know why.
See, what I want to see is backyard golfing. Don't try this at home.
I'd like to, like, play a golf game where the idea is not to get it into a goal, but to defeat monsters.
How the hell do you play mini golf? Oh, it's for me. The obstacle is...
The monster is the hole. You just got to destroy it.
Hole one, like, level up!
Now, the thing is, the obstacles, the walls, are enemies, and that's why I keep hitting them. Because I want to, with each hit, I do like three, you know, something like 7d6 damage to them.
There's
all
this
the
golf
monsters
game
in
called,
level.
There's this golf game for the Atari ST called Ninja Golf.
That is the best description for sucking at putt-putt I've ever heard.
And the weird thing about Ninja Golf is, like, it plays like a normal golf game, but when you hit the ball and you have to and get it into the goal or wherever you... the ball drops, you have to actually walk over there, and you can encounter dragons and have to throw ninja stars at them before you get there. Like, oh my god, emergency dragon, fight the dragon.
I want to get in the golf cart and, like, shoot missiles at it, too. Can I do that in your game?
Did you just say emergency dragon?
Yeah.
That would be the name of my new, you know, Final Fantasy cover band.
I was going to say, that is a band name. That is totally a band name. Emergency Dragon. Although there's that Imagine Dragons.
Glorious, like, Kittens.
I think you're trying to be like them or something. I don't know.
Emergency Dragon was better.
I don't know. Emergency Dragon, very better.
Anyways, let's move on. Okay, we're going to switch gears, and we're actually going to do an article from Japanator.
I think it's probably supposed to be Japanator, but...
No, because I'm thinking Gigantor. Japanator.
Well, Japanator just sounds insulting.
It's more like it's an Asian janitor. It's a Japanator, basically.
And It says, Super Robot Wars OG, The Moon Dwellers. It's an English release in Asia. Well,
yeah.
What they meant is English text release.
Yeah, because... saw that. Like, that's pretty cool, because, I mean, isn't it basically another game in the style of the remakes on the PS2? I mean, it's like traditional Super Robot Wars, right?
Yeah, because the only... Well, not traditional, because it doesn't have any anime licenses involved. That's why it's called OG, because it's original.
I know what the OG thing is, but I'm not talking about... I mean, the traditional in the sense that the gameplay is the same. You know, it's not some weird offshoot or anything.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure Endless Frontier played a lot like a standard RPG.
Yes, it did. I have it.
But a little bit of Valkyrie Profile. Valkyrie Profile.
It was actually pretty... It had a really good animation.
And it was made by Monolith Soft, and they're the same ones that are making the Project X Zone games.
Okay.
And I think that came out this week.
I never finished Endless Frontier. I liked it. It wasn't like, you need to keep playing this. It didn't grab me in that sense, but it was still fun.
I think I gave it like a 7 or something, but once I was done with it, I didn't really have a desire to go back to it again. Mm. And we never did get the sequel, which I'm bummed about. But it says, remember all those times I've said that hell is frozen over? It looks like the underworld has gone through an ice age. Bandai Namco Asia announced that Super Robot Wars OG, The Moon Dwellers, hits Indonesia, Malaysia, Thailand, and Philippines this year in English. However, the PS4 version of the game is the only one that's heading there. Wait, the PS4 version is the only one going to the Philippines or all these countries? I don't know what it's trying to say here.
I was gonna say, by the sound of that, I mean, if I'm understanding that correctly, you could buy, I could buy an Asian PS4 copy of this and be able to play it in English, which is pretty awesome.
Anyways, it says, even though the game's localization might get handled poorly, such as Sword Art Online, Hall of Fragments translation, although Bandai did apologize for that, so I don't know how Lost Song's Asian version compares.
Wow, a company apologized? That's rare, actually.
Well, it's like, apologizing is one thing. Did they fix it?
Yeah, they actually
fixed
it. Okay, then, yes, then that's a real apology. It's like, if you say, I'm sorry, and you don't...
Because the PS4 version is the Sword Art Online.
I am so sorry you're having trouble playing this amazing game.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
I wish I could do something. But I'm not going to.
It was only slightly better than the God Carp trilogy probably was.
I'm so sorry you're having trouble with this game. Everyone we've tested had no trouble with it. The problem seems to be on your end.
Yeah, I know. It's like, wow, it's like I'm talking to an IT guy.
Anyways, apparently, from what I'm seeing here, the English text is overlaid below the Japanese text.
Yeah, I saw that. Which is weird, but hey, if it works.
And the text looks a little bit small, but it's still readable.
Mm.
But,
hey, I wouldn't complain. It's like the only chance... if not for this, it was just never going to be playable in English, so...
Even if it's in English, I'd still love the fact that I could still somehow make out what's going on.
Yeah.
But hopefully this is signs of a localization in the works, because lots of games are usually preceded by English releases, especially when Bandai Namco is involved. Because even though this is a Bond Presto game and it's probably being published under that brand, it is a subsidiary of Bandai Namco.
Yeah, I didn't even realize Bond Presto was still around.
If it localized, they'd probably be doing the publishing instead of Bond Presto.
Yeah. I'd forgotten that. I didn't even realize that Bond Presto was still around.
Yeah.
I mean, the last attention I paid to any of the Super Robot Wars games was the PS2 era.
Hmm. The last proper Super Robot Wars game we got was OG2 for the Game Boy Advance. And the remakes never got over here for some reason, because I think Atlas,
they didn't bring them out over here because
the
GBA games sold terribly, so they didn't want to bother with
that too. They sold terribly, and they probably missed a release window because it would release at the tail end of the PS2's life cycle.
Yeah.
and they probably wanted to move on to the PS3 at that point.
I hate when they judge sales when they've already moved on to another system, basically.
Well, I don't think Atlas advertised it terribly much. So it's like, it's kind of your own fault, a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, what a shock.
And in much like the incident with, like, Persona 2 on PSP not coming over, OG 2 was also released around the end of GBA's life cycle. That's another reason.
So that version never came to the U.S.?
The remakes never did.
Mm.
I don't think anybody did a fan translation either.
That's a shame. Anyway.
I think the last fan translation that actually got completed was for Alpha 3.
Mm.
Or 3 Alpha or whatever it was called. Alpha Gaiden or something like that for the PlayStation.
Well, I know that Gideon G is always working on a Super Robot Wars game in some form or fashion.
Mm.
So, like, that's it. Like, his all-time favorite series, if I'm not mistaken. So, it's like, he's devoted to, you know, messing with that. As long as he's hacking games, he'll have one of those games on a burner somewhere.
Even though a lot of the Robot Wars games don't have translations patches, there are resources you can use that will translate most of the game for you, so you understand what's going on, how to play. So you just always import.
Yeah.
But with that, let's move on to the last article.
All right, Break, you're up, and I can't wait to hear you pronounce this.
coming to us from RPG Fan, Yo-Kai Watch attempts to romance the Three Kingdoms in latest crossover. Level 5 has revealed the debut trailer for the latest in the world of Yo-Kai Watch. Yo-Kai Sengokushi?
Gokushi. Yeah, you don't really pronounce that U.
Yo-Kai Sengokushi is a 3DS RPG crossover with Koei Tecmo's long-standing Romance of the Three Kingdoms series. The game features over 400 familiar yokai and finds them trying to reunite the Sakura country. Whisper with a beard is a nice touch. What the hell does that mean?
There's a character in the game called Whisper, and he has a beard in this game, apparently.
Okay.
Break.
Yes?
I always whisper with a beard.
I'm growing a beard, just because
I... Oh, dude, just beards are the way to go, man. I love my
beard. It's more of an experiment than anything. I probably won't carry it into spring, because it'll be too hot by then.
I've shaved off my facial hair maybe a couple times in my entire life for jobs, and it was like, no, I don't like this. I prefer facial hair. So.
Yeah. I never grew a beard. I never let a beard grow until a few months ago, actually. And like, now I have a full beard. It's like, apparently, like, if I let my beard grow at all, it gets super, super curly, which is freaking weird.
That's kind of funny. Yeah, I used to have, like, a goatee, but now...
So, yeah, this game is basically Pokemon Conquest, but Yo-Kai Watch.
Yeah, the Yo-Kai Watch franchise is no stranger to drawing inspiration from and crossing over with other series. The base games themselves are kind of like weird mashups of Pokemon, Dragon Quest, and Shin Megami Tensei. Games in Japan, Yo-Kai Watch Busters takes a few pages out of the Monster Hunter book. Well, I think
Yo-Kai Watch Buster also has a lot of movie references. Like, in fact, that it's even called Watch Busters is a reference to Ghostbusters, because there are characters that are wearing proton packs, and they even drive something that looks like the Ecto-1.
I love Ghostbuster references. I'm down with that. I need to see more about the new Ghostbusters movie. I haven't seen any, like, images yet. I know they're out there, but I haven't seen any. I've seen the toys, though. The villain looks really goofy, but other than that, the toys look really cool.
They have a villain for the new movie already?
Yeah, I forget his name.
Gozer and Viggo both look pretty goofy.
Well, he looks like, you know, the symbol?
Wait, both of them are in the movie?
He was saying, like, the new villain looks goofy. I was like, well, Gozer and Viggo both look pretty goofy, too.
This character looks...
Vigo was a painting, and Gozer, I don't even know what the hell was going on there.
Gozer was a freaking ballerina with full-color contacts.
Yeah.
And there's really no other way to put it.
Stay Puft was cool, though. But the logo, you got the Ghostbuster, the ghost in the middle. It sort of looks like that ghost. And I forget what it's called.
How meta.
Anyway. So, it's...
Ghost Nappa from DBZ Bridge.
The ghost's name is Busty.
Busty. anyway, since we're finally done with the news, we want to keep...
It has a release date.
Since we're finally done with the news, it's time to get naked.
I think it said April 26th.
Wait, we were supposed to wait?
Oh, sorry.
Man, my bad, so I didn't impatient. Know I was supposed to wait.
You were so impatient.
Sorry.
Man, you did the same thing this past Friday night.
Yeah.
After the show was over, I mean, okay, never mind. We'll discuss this at home, okay?
Yes, sir.
Anyway. What's next?
Yeah, let's move along here. We got really sidetracked.
I know, it's like we're going to be curious and awkward silence right after a not-so-vaguely homosexual comment. Anyway, do we have any homie discounts?
I think I do, actually. The Josh USA Groupies bundle is still up, I think. There's only probably about, 700 codes by now, though. Let's check. Let's see. This page would take a while. It has 881 bundles remaining, so you can still get on that if you want it. Remember, the $30 will get you everything, including Steins Gate. Everything else is an arrow gay.
Yeah. I don't know if you. Speaking of the discounts and stuff, have you guys heard about the Make War Not Love thing with Sega?
Yeah.
Now, if you go to the, what was this? I can't remember what the site was. But there's things like Sega's got this promotional thing going on where you vote for certain games or whatever, and you can win free, or not really win, you register to get free Steam codes. Like, I just got Steam codes for, what was it, Condemned Criminal Origins, and a couple other games. Like, yesterday, the day before, it was like Jet Set Radio and Streets of Rage. And one other game, but you were getting you register for this and you click the thing to redeem and they'll email you a Steam code in 24 hours.
That's cool.
The only game on there on that list that interests me would be Dawn of War 2 Retribution.
Well, those aren't the games that you're getting free.
Yeah.
But I just got the one that I was really looking for was Condemned Criminal Origins, which is a really good game.
I played 5 minutes of it, and I wanted to play more, but I can't remember why I didn't.
Well, anyways, I have another discount for you guys. It's Lewd Gamer tweeted that these games are lewd, but not really, because a lot of them are just visual novels. Some of them might...
So they're lewd, they're just not really games, is what you meant.
Some of them might just be all-ages versions of actual Aerogay, but I think only a handful of them are. But they're all codes, and if you want the adult versions, you'd have to go to Manga Gamer. But there are ways for some of these games to put the adult content back in,
yeah.
So it's not too much of a problem. But anyways, if you pay $1 or more to get these three Steam games, they're Tokyo Hosto, I don't know. And Orion, a sci-fi visual novel, and A Wild Cat Girl appears, which I think we talked about before.
I think it does sound familiar.
But if you pay $3 before the price increases, which I don't know what's going to be, it says special price time left. 14 days and 2 hours. No, wait. It is 14 hours, because... It's hours, minutes, and seconds. So, by the time people listen to this, the sale might be over, and you might have to pay more than $3, which probably will only be $5 or so. But you also get Sickness, Echo Tokyo Intro, Always the Same Blue Sky, High School Possession, which is an arrow game, but this is the Steam version, so that content's not there. But Sangui, Lara's Game Room, Quantum Conscience, Divine Slice of Life, which is also an arrow game, and Beach Bounce, which is also an arrow game, and Blue Rose.
That one.
The last one's Blue Rose. But that's a lot of games for $3, so jump on that.
And if you like visual novels at all, you know, that's probably a good bet.
I'm just looking through the titles here, and there's one called Do You Like Horny Bunnies?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that was Joss' one. That one has a sequel called Do You Have Horny Bunnies 2. Maybe it'll be in the next Joss sale.
I also like Horny Bunnies. Let's make a sequel.
Yeah, it's about bunny girls that our hostesses.
I know, like, who doesn't like bunnies? For real.
Feminists.
What's that?
Feminists.
Certain feminists.
Oh.
Some feminists.
Oh, right. The people that don't like me. Got it.
I'm a feminist.
My name
I'm
is Frank Branches. Just remember if I'm offending you. It's Frank Branches.
No. The only thing I really hate it when someone says you're not a true person of group, insert group here.
True Scotsman, yay, whatever.
Yeah, I saw Anthony Birch calling someone a fake feminist. It's like, why? Because they're not exactly like you.
Oh, that's pretty much what the, like, Albright and what's-her-name did. Like, trying to shame women that aren't voting for Hillary.
Gloria Steinem.
That one, yeah.
The thing is, like, you are relics of a previous age. Like, you know, there's no denying everything that you accomplished and all that you worked for, but what you're espousing now is not practical. You know, you're basically harming your own cause at this point.
Yes. Very much so.
Like, and the simple fact is, if you're voting for someone or against someone specifically because of an accident of their specifically because of an accident of their birth, it's like, he's black, so I'm voting for him, or he's black, so I'm not voting for him, she's female, so I'm voting for her, whatever.
Bernie's to choose, so I'm voting for him.
Yeah, I mean, you're voting for entirely the wrong reasons.
And voting on single issues is probably also a bad idea too.
It's better than voting on gender or ethnicity. At least there's some political consciousness at work.
I want Bernie to win, because if Bernie wins, it means that the democratic process isn't completely broken.
Yeah.
And people who aren't corrupt can get office.
It would be nice.
Well, unless he bears his fangs afterwards. And then
I don't know enough about Bernie to know
if he's
corrupt or not. I just really don't know enough about him. But so many of the others we know are corrupt. I mean, Hillary is the epitome of corrupt. Hmm. And Donald Trump is the epitome of the 1%.
I'm sorry, I say Donald Trump is not corrupt.
He's a businessman. He's in this for himself.
Yeah, I was like, and that's the thing. Like, he's not Romney. Yeah, well, he's not. You know, Trump is not corrupt. He's just an asshole.
Right. I wasn't gonna go with corrupt. I wasn't going there.
He makes other people corrupt.
No, he's like I said. He's the 1%. Like, he's the definition of the 1%. The elitist.
Even though he's a businessman, he's also a terrible businessman. So, do you really want him in charge of being in charge of our money?
Yeah, the whole thing with, like, with Trump's candidacy is like it's all playing out like a really bad movie.
I mean, he's a guy that had to get bailed out, like, several times.
I will say, it's funny that the latest fight he picked was with the Pope. I think that's pretty funny.
Yeah. Especially when he made that comment, it's like, oh, no, you know, a man should not be able to, you know, no leader, especially religious leader, should be able to question a man's faith or whatever. Like, after
that was Jerry Falwell Jr.
No, this is
what Trump said. Trump said that.
Trump also said that?
Yeah, Trump said that just recently. But it was pointed out like 2 weeks ago, he was getting on, I think he was like getting on Ted Cruz's case for not being Christian. I was like, wonder what that's all about.
Right.
Like, he's,
oh, they're all committing no true Scotsmans. You're not enough of a Christian.
It's not just that. It's the fact that he said, you know, he was saying, oh, you're not really a Christian or whatever, and then said to the Pope, you're not allowed to say I'm not a Christian.
And
granted, I mean,
The sad thing is, in a real practical sense, the Pope is even less relevant than Trump is.
Yeah, well,
the only political office the Pope has is his own.
I have a problem with some of the things the Pope said for one thing, but
it angers me. He's not subject to Italy's laws.
Yeah, but I was about to say something about Trump and I completely forgot what it was. But as far as the Pope, like saying that, you know, don't build walls, build bridges. That's easy to say coming from a guy who lives in a city that's surrounded by a wall.
Walls. It's basically its own apartheid.
Yeah, like, before you comment on any of the world's politics, you need to clean your shit up, because kids are still being molested.
And they put up those walls to protect everybody from the crime within the city.
Just because you moved it, like, to, like, South America and third world countries doesn't fucking make it okay.
Yeah. It's supposedly a holy city, but it has the highest crime rate in the world.
Well, I think crime rate's probably relative because there's so few people that live there, too. Mm. So, I mean, one person committing a crime would be a higher percentage than, you know, anywhere else, just because of how small the population they have at Vatican City. Mm. They charge to get in and stuff like that. And, like, Pope, clean up your own...
Go to Mass, pay like $100, yay.
Pope, clean up your own fucking house before you tell the rest of us what to do.
Sell your fucking basilica. Nobody needs that crap.
You keep saying, like, you've cleaned it up and stuff like that, but I still read stories of, like, South American children being molested and shit like that. So, no, you have not cleaned it up. You just moved them.
Yeah.
Again, which is what was going on in the first place, you know? Jesus.
I read somewhere that the last Pope's brother was responsible for a pedophilia ring.
I wouldn't be surprised. Like, it's. I don't understand how you come across somebody molesting children and your instincts aren't to, like, want to hurt them and call the police. Your instincts are to protect them. I don't understand.
Yeah, this will hurt the church, so we got to put them somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the same thing that happened at, like, Penn State College with that Sandusky guy. Basically, they put the football program above the kids. He was able to molest more kids because they knew about it, like, in years advance, but nobody wanted to do anything because they didn't want to, like, you know, we don't want to call attention to it. And in the meantime, he has this child foundation and stuff, and he has easy access to children.
Yeah.
Gross, gross, gross.
Yeah.
Yep.
But what have we been playing? I want to get off of somber topics.
Yeah.
That's what happens when Frank in here. We talk about child molesting.
I know. No, we've ranted about the Catholic Church on more than a few occasions.
It's so many religions, so much hypocrisy. Like, just drives me fucking crazy.
When you get right down to it, you know, except for in the most zealous of believers, like I'm talking like diehard extremist types, fundamentalist types, you know, it's all hypocrisy because they all say, "Oh, I believe this," but they never behave as if they do.
That's true.
I don't even think my own sister goes to the church anymore.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm talking about even the ones who are like, you know, very pious and everything. They're like, "Oh, I know that heaven will be a better place," and but they're still the ones, you know, they believe that God has a plan for them. They'll still buckle their seatbelts. They'll still look both ways before they cross the road. You know, thinking if you really believe that God has a plan for you, and your God's plan is for you to get, you know, creamed by that bus coming down the road, then, you know, you shouldn't feel the need to, you know, to look down the road, because whatever happens, it's obviously what God has planned for you. But nobody acts that way.
Although they apparently act that way when it comes to having children. If I have babies, then fine. Not wearing condoms, so...
Well, that's the thing. It's like it's not threatening their lives.
Well, like, you're going, like, the...
It might threaten their livelihoods.
For instance, like, people, the ISIS guys, they think they're the most pious and upright people, but at the same time, they're allowed to, like, they make exceptions for, like, raping women and children that aren't in there. Like,
Remember when we were talking about moral licensing? That might play into that.
It's just
I'm a good person because I go to church, but I don't actually think about my behavior.
Well, yeah. I'd like to shift gears completely for a moment here and point out something I just saw. It's called the Nerf Nuke. And it's basically a large ball with some, like, a little protrusion on the back of it with fins, and it fires 80 darts in all directions at once.
Holy shit.
Like, that sounds amazing.
My God, why didn't they have toys like that when I was a kid? Not that
I know, it's like, don't you wish you could go back to being, like, 10?
Yeah, not that I could afford them, but I would have gone and played with, like, I always played with my friend's toys because, well, I don't
know. God, I would have gotten, like, 20 of those things, like, take
my nephew's birthday is Sunday. I need to get him a gift. Well, yeah. That's a good idea.
How old
for
is
a four-year-old.
He? Four?
Four.
Yeah. Close.
A copy of Dead or Alive Extreme 3.
No,
it's not even out yet.
Honestly, from my personal experience, when they're that age, it's more about helping the parents out than getting something for the child. When they about 5 or 6, when they can start talking to you, is when you start like getting them.
He already knows how to talk. He's very smart.
Oh well, then maybe you should buy him toys.
He's pretty articulate.
Find out what he likes. That's the best thing you can do. Like,
well, I know,
honestly, like when they're...
He likes Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Paw Patrol. I don't know if you know what Paw Patrol is.
I've heard of it. I know the name, but I don't know what it is.
I don't want to know more. When they're that young like that, I'm being serious. Like, honestly, you should be more about helping the parents out.
In other words, getting him something that will...
That will keep him quiet for 2 hours so they can have a break.
It's about making them happy right now, as opposed to like what you're doing.
Well, it's not so much about making them happy.
So
it's about getting
them. Give
him
my 3DS.
Sure. Basically,
I don't have any games to give.
Basically, these parents they have like an older toddler. Essentially, what they want is time so they can sleep and or fuck. And I mean, that's really what it comes down to at that age.
They're already on work. They already have kid two, and then that kid two is doing May. So,
Well, then there's probably more fucking.
Right now while they're young, but when they get older and more active, and they start going to school and stuff like that, and getting friends, that's when you want to start being the cool uncle, the fun uncle, or something. Like there's toys or. I'll take you the Funkle. You'll be the Funkle. Take them like to the toy store and stuff like that. Like $50 or something. Like here, go. Pick something out.
I'm thinking I'll just give him $1 and then he could buy something at like a store or something. Give him $5.
Hey, big spender.
Oh God, dude, you just made worst uncle award.
That'll be like the defining memory of his childhood. It's like, my uncle gave me $1 for my birthday. That bastard.
No, I'll give him $5.
$5.
Well, for a 4-year-old, that's like it's more dollars than years you've been alive. So I think that's
for a 4-year-old, that's fine. I mean, but for $1, I mean, even if he was 2, $1 would still seem rude.
It's like, yeah, your grandma was like, here's a quarter, take it down to the five and dime and get yourself something
because he's. Because he's 3 and it was like for Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And he got like a little basketball thing because he likes basketball.
I remember when you could buy things with change. Like a quarter. Oh, I can afford some candy. Yay.
Yeah, I could get like 6 pieces of candy for a quarter.
Oh, like, ooh, Tootsie Rolls are a penny?
Yeah.
25 of them, yes.
I'd rather just grab a tenner and just have Jessica do something with it.
Well, you had a shitty childhood then. Because going down to the corner store and getting candy for getting like a bazillion pieces of candy for like 50 cents was amazing.
Well, we're older than he is though too. Yeah.
So, which
like,
basically
I'm 37 and you're in your.
I don't even think I had a dollar store
when this is.
When
I think
I was a kid.
I think
I had
basically
something that was called Ben Franklin, and you could get cheap candy back then because candy was cheap back then.
Yeah, I think basically what we've proven is
but it wasn't
the
exactly
older you are, the older you are right now, at like the moment you're measuring, the better your childhood was.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, Breath of Fire 6 is out now.
Wait, what the hell just happened?
Yes, Breath of Fire 6 is out.
That was completely... I'm not going to talk to you guys anymore. I'm moving on.
Oh, yeah. So, what have we been playing?
Yeah. Well,
who's going first?
I'll go first. Damn, it's broken. No, I've been playing some more Final Fantasy X-2 HD. Still mostly just grinding and just kind of zenning out on the combat.
How far are you in a game? Have you chosen which side you're fighting for yet?
Yes, I'm in chapter 3 now.
Okay, which side did you go with? Just curious.
I went with the Youth League.
Okay.
That's, I mean, it doesn't make that big a difference. I mean, it just determines, you know, which side is pissed off at you.
Right. Sure. But yeah. I thought that was determined which was the better ending.
No.
Ending mostly comes
to get
down
the best
to
ending, you just need to get like 97% or something.
Well, no, the best ending it comes with only with 100%.
Actually, that's not true, because like you can be under that and it still give you the best ending.
But
you just need to experience enough events that you get the good ending.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, so have you? You said you hadn't played it before, right?
I played like the very beginning of it, up until the choice, and somebody told me it affects the ending, so I didn't know which choice to make. So like,
it doesn't really make a difference.
A lot more dumb and didn't realize I could use the internet.
Yeah, it's like out. Well, it's like the, any
it,
change,
it doesn't make a difference because you're eventually going to go to the other places anyway.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway, so I finished Firewatch, which was pretty good. I mean, it was enjoyable for what it was. It's, you know, it is basically a walking simulator with some really nice writing. The ending is extremely abrupt, and it's put a lot of people off. I was like, yeah, it's not quite what I was hoping for, but it's still.
Thank you for playing.
It's, yeah, it's close. Wasn't that when the end of Metal Gear Solid 5 was just like, oh, the game's over.
I actually never finished, like, I never got the real ending of Metal Gear Solid 5. After I finished, defeated the last boss of, like, the first chapter, so to speak, that's ending enough for me. And, like, and I heard about...
I hear the true ending's not much better, and it hints at it at a Chapter 3, but Chapter 3 is probably not going to happen.
Well, apparently there's a big reveal at the end of Chapter 2. I found out what it is, so like, oh, that's kind of interesting. And it explains a few things. But it doesn't make the problem with Metal Gear Solid 5's storyline is that it effectively trivializes everything that comes after it.
Mm.
And like the existence of the Metal Gear in this game, it's so ridiculously more advanced that it's like,
why is this other game?
Yeah, it's like why did a really
shitty looking Metal Gear?
Yeah, exactly. It's like it's this large, you know, like upright, you know, not that crouched look of Rex, but an upright bipedal version of Metal Gear Rex. Like I don't mind that
if you consider the idea that the first two Metal Gear games are retconned.
Well, that's the thing; they're not.
Because they kind of are, because, like, the ending of Metal Gear 2 has Snake killing Big Boss, but he's still somehow alive in Metal Gear Solid.
And that is something that the true ending of Metal Gear Solid 5 addresses.
Mm.
Essentially, yeah, they closed the loop on it and everything, but it's just not very well done. Like,
I think originally when the documentary of Metal Gear Solid 4 came out, they had made up some crap about it. Big Boss being a part of this thing called the Snatcher program where he made clones of himself, which was apparently separate from the Les Enfanteries project.
He did it as a contingency
plan in case he were to have his life been marked or something.
I don't think that was accurate.
I had a hard time reading it, and it was so convoluted. It was like, what?
Yeah, that doesn't sound right. But
it almost sounds like the they were robots, but not actual flesh and blood.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I started playing. I got it yesterday, but I only started playing it today. Was Layers of Fear on the PS4. Maybe it's good on the PC, but it runs like shit on the PS4. The frame rate is awful.
Is screw Metal Gear Solid 2's or Metal Gear 2's ending? I mean, I think the boss just straight up dies, or maybe that's just the game saying, oh, the fight's over. I don't know. Because you kind of blew him up with Stinger missiles in that game. The original Metal Gear.
Well, I mean, the thing is, the Snake shot down the helicopter that, you know, Liquid was riding in. You know, and then he shows up again, you know, with Stinger missiles, and then he appears again.
He falls off of Metal Gear, and then he's... fighting you in the
Jeep. Yeah, like, you know, it's basically comic books. Unless you see the body, it's not dead.
So it's Dark Man and Dark Man 2?
I tried to go back and watch the original Darkman. I'm like, this is awful.
I love that original Darkman. I hate the sequels.
Yeah, no, I was like, I went back. Like, I hadn't watched it since the Blockbuster was still, you know, a major player. And so this should show you how long ago it was that I've watched it.
Right.
But so like I went back and I was like, oh, it's on Netflix. I remember loving this movie. Why? Holy crap! Why do I remember loving this? This is terrible.
I haven't seen it in a while. Don't ruin it. Don't
yeah,
ruin
it. You may want to. It's like you may, because I enjoyed it too when I first saw it. But you, if you know, you know, depending, you were talking about how like God, I was so dumb back then. It's like it was a lot easier to enjoy dumb movies, and it's like you may want to leave it in your memories.
Hmm. Like Howard the Duck, I should have left that in my memories.
Oh no! You should
hey,
have purged that from your memory.
I liked Howard the Duck. It was so
I, when
stupid.
I was a kid. I loved the movie. Like
it was. Let's see, the thing is,
I thought the alien at the end was cool, but that was like the only thing that was good.
Was, even as a kid, I was like, "This is so dumb, but it's awesome."
like, yeah, like, I like Howard.
I never had any illusions. Yeah, I never had any illusions about it being a good movie. Right. I was like, this is so silly, but it's funny. it's just kind of you know embracing the silliness of it. Yeah, it was very you know, Z movie kind of quality, but it was silly and it was funny. So I had fun with it.
I've been playing Hyperdimension or Mega Dimension Neptunia V2. Fire Emblem Fates Birthright. And actually, I only played a little bit more over the weekend, but I haven't played it all week. And I been playing Senran Kagura 2 Deep Crimson over the course of like my breaks on work.
Yeah, so I had a question about that Fire Emblem thing. If I'm not mistaken, so there are two versions of the game with two different campaigns, right?
Yeah, but
and
there's also
a third like
which
DLC
is like a
chapter.
$20 DLC deal. But
so
unless you get
the
special edition cartridge that has all three of the games on them.
And yeah, and that was like in very limited release as I understand it.
Which I pre-ordered and it still hasn't been shipped by Amazon. Yeah. And Amazon tax is ridiculous.
And
because,
how much but okay,
cuz in my state closed that loophole,
okay,
so now
dude,
I can't
dude,
no longer
dude,
get
dude, dude, you're way off free. Way off the point I was trying to make.
Okay, what?
The So, how much was the special edition that has all three on it?
$80.
So if you didn't buy that, if you want to get everything, you've got to pay what $100, like to get both versions of the game plus that DLC.
Yeah, the $240 games and the DLC.
Yeah, so
and you're better off just getting one cartridge than buying the other two games as. Buying the one on eShop and then getting the DLC.
Yeah.
Because that way you don't have to worry about switching cartridges and
yeah.
The game
also
will let you
still,
have
still
the,
not
the option
I'm trying
of
to make.
Always switching between
Eric,
which path you want to take.
Yeah, you're still like, you know, pulling away from the point I'm trying to make. The point that I'm trying to make is how the hell did Nintendo get away with this? Yeah, they've sectioned off the game. And they're selling it to you piecemeal, and it's not even like they're selling, oh, buy this, you know, here's the game, now buy this season pass. No, here are two full-price copies of the game.
I think people are giving pass because Nintendo normally doesn't do this.
Well, that's the shit thing. It's like, if EA or Ubisoft had done this, people would crucify them. Nintendo doesn't deserve to get a pass for this. I'm like, imagine if they, you know, if there were two...
The other thing is, each game... plays very differently from each other.
It doesn't make sense to me that Nintendo would get a pass, though, because
and
Nintendo gets bagged on all the time.
Completely different games, but they're also three completely different games that could fit on a single cartridge.
Are they, like, completely... When you say completely different games, are they, like, different styles of game? Is one of them... Are the other two not strategy RPGs?
Well, in Birthright... Well, the thing is, no matter which game you play, you'll always play up to, like, Chapter 6 or Chapter 5 or whatever... And then the game gives you a decision point, which, depending on which cartridge you play, you'll only be able to pick one of those, unless you have the other titles present. Like I said,
that's even less. That's even more egregious. Like it's extremely transparent. It's like, okay, here's where things, you know, here's a choice you don't get to make because you're playing this version of the, you know, like you're playing this version of the game, so you can only go in this direction. And like that's just it. That's really slimy, to be honest.
Yeah, but no matter which side you pick, Each side has like different gameplay elements. Like the Birthright one plays more like Awakening, and it lets you level up freely, and it's relatively easier because there's a super casual mode where you can have a character die and then be resurrected the next turn.
Yeah, but or none of that is like, this is so major, we had to do a completely separate simultaneous retail release for this. You know, this is all stuff that they could just as easily, and from what you're describing to me, it's not like there are two 30-hour campaigns in this game, or whatever the length of it is. It's like, it's one, you know, the equivalent is like, it's one 25-hour campaign with two 5-hour, you know, final chapters.
No, that's not quite how it works. Each scenario does have its own maps and scenario, but, like, based on what style of gameplay you want, you'll want to go for one version over the other.
That still sounds very underhanded.
And from what I hear, Conquest is more strategic, and you do things called sieges. And that's something that just doesn't exist in Birthright. Birthright plays more like a straight, traditional game, but with more of Awakening's gameplay systems to make it easier for casual people. And the other one plays more like the old school games, where permadeath is always active, and you don't really have time to grind. And there is plenty of map variation there, so there's a good chunk of story in no matter what path you take that just isn't present in the others.
Yeah, even so, I still don't think that justifies, charging people 2.5 times as much to get a complete game.
Mm. Yeah, I don't like it either.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically like, it's essentially like, you know, Here's $60 for your season pass.
Oh yeah, there's also $80 of amiibo content if you want that.
Of course there is.
They basically just unlock playable characters that you can mess around with in the game instead.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you want to play with Marth, or do you want to play with Lucina or Robin or any of the other characters from Awakening here?
Yeah,
Roy or.
Yeah. Buy these $13 figures.
Hmm. More if you have if
it's
you
a
pay
nice little racket.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, say you didn't, you know, you weren't aware of this game ahead of time, but you buy it and you're like, whoa, this game's awesome. There's more of this.
And this is in addition to the fact that the game has DLC that you can pay for.
Yeah.
It's like, why didn't they just make this DLC?
Yeah.
Oh, because if they lock it behind a toy, then you have to buy the toy, which is more expensive.
Yeah. And so it's basically like, okay, not even counting any of the DLC you mentioned, it's $100 for the average person who just, you know, discovers the game and wants all of it. It's $100 right there. And then it's like, there's a whole bunch of other stuff that's already there it's in the game, but you have to buy these toys to get access to it.
It's even shittier than the fact that they lock the gay marriage options behind the two versions of the game unless you get the Revelations, which lets you do either.
That's weird.
Yeah. Like the straight path, the gay path, or no, the gay path for males and the gay path for females and the bi path.
I don't know. It astounds me what companies will get, you know, what some companies can get away with, and, you know, and no one will call them out for it.
I think it's because Nintendo hasn't historically done stuff like this. But if they keep doing this, people are going to get angry at some point.
Well, not while they're still, you know, hunting down amiibos. More power to them. They found a lucrative revenue stream, but it's still very anti-consumer.
Well, yeah. But the other game I played was Higurashi When They Cry, Chapter 2, with Tanegashi.
I always Higurashi When They Cry.
You always hate?
I always Higurashi When They Cry.
Never once when they've cried have I not Higurashi.
Higurashi is Japanese for cicada. Says when the cicadas cries was what the title should be called, but oh well.
I don't know that word. I know semi is cicada, but I don't know Higurashi is cicada.
Or it's the sound that cicadas make, I think.
It doesn't sound like Japanese onomatopoeia at all. Mm. It's not, you know, like za za or something like that is how they would do it.
Because I know ume neko is like when the gulls cry or something.
Plum cat.
Plum cat.
Ume yeah, neko.
That's the most direct plum translation.
Cat. Plum cat. And what was the sound effect that was supposed to be?
I don't know.
Oh man, it's like I'm tired. I'm gonna go, you know, I'm gonna call it a night. Ah, settling in. Plum cat instead of cheers. Plum cat.
But anyways,
you guys stuck. That was awesome.
that was a good one, and
I'm sorry, I was holding like, laughter in because I knew you were getting mad.
$8. And the review's up on Boss Bash Brigade. It's actually a shorter review than the last one I did because it is purely a kinetic visual novel, and if I spoke anything about the story, it would ruin it. So I just talked about what happens in it.
It's
only like a paragraph.
A story.
Long. Yeah.
There are people in the story, and they do things.
And I suggest if you're going to read that review, read the review for the first game first, because I explain a little bit more what it's about.
Okay.
It's like that one's an intro, so it will get you up to speed on what the series is like, and this one will be more like what to expect in this volume.
Gotcha.
And whether or not I felt that the story was stronger or weak. I thought it was a little bit weaker, but because the phone... Goddamn phone. Anyways, I gotta shut this off. But, anyways, I felt that it was a little weaker because it was less suspenseful because, one, I kind of knew what to expect, and two, there weren't... I think the fact that you only had to deal with one crazy person and people mysteriously disappearing rather than actually reading a detailed description of how they were actually killed, because you don't get to see what happens because it happens off screen.
Okay.
And instead of dealing with a whole village that has turned psychotic against you, I think that's a scarier situation. You have to only have to deal with one person.
Mm. It could be done with good writing, but it would be much harder.
Well, it is good writing. It's just I think that the length of the game and the fact that it's a doujin project, it could have probably been better than how it turned out.
Mm.
But but I think the game kind of makes up for it because it has a lot more world building in it, and you learned a lot more about a character you just didn't learn in the last one, and they're an interesting case study, I guess. But I think she kind of makes up for the lack of uneasiness, that feeling that you felt throughout the first chapter because of the amount of crazies she pours out.
Mm.
But it's still kind of weaker. But at least they tried to compensate. But I think the later volumes will probably fix whatever issues I had with this one, though. I don't know when Chapter 3 is going to come out. I think there's like 5 or 6 chapters.
Okay.
And they're all about, let's see, the last one was like $6, and this one was like $8. And I'm pretty sure that the other ones will be around the same price point. So you're going to be paying about $60 for the whole thing. All told. And that's like over 60 hours worth of content.
Yeah, but it's a visual novel.
Mm-hmm. But you can play it in chunks, and I think they're like 15 hours each. Yeah, last one was like 12. And this one's more like 14.
Let's see.
And if you want extra background info, you can do the little side stories that unlock after end of each subchapter called tips that, like, give you a little bit more insight of scenes that go on in between each chapter or stuff you didn't get to see that was going on in the background.
Okay. Sounds interesting. And what else?
That's all I've been playing.
Frank! Wake up!
Nothing new. What do you mean, wake up? I've been playing
more,
the same...
You called him Frank. Zombies too.
No,
I said Frank.
I haven't played that in a while, actually. Yeah, mostly Record Keeper and Halo is mostly what I've played. They've started adding villains into it. Well, not, I shouldn't have said they started
there's
adding.
Wait. So hang on. There's a Final Fantasy Record Keeper Inhaler?
Yes, you didn't know that?
No, it's like, this is news to me. Is it like, you know, can you choose what you want to inhale?
Yeah.
Because, hey, all right, you got yourself a customer.
Yes, it's like a vape, you know, you put whatever you want in it. No, but, yeah, it's Halo, and there's nothing new on that. But Record Keeper, and I don't mean they just started adding villains, because they added Sephiroth from the very beginning. But they've started adding the other villains, like Kefka and Xdeath have most recently added, Gilgamesh, and... I don't know who's next, but yeah, it's cool.
Is that the Record Keeper? Is not like the Monster Hunter type one, is it?
Monster Hunter.
There's a new Final Fantasy game that's Final Fantasy Explorers or something like that. That's Monster Hunter-ish.
No, this is basically it's some Final Fantasy down to the combat, and it's. It's like the 16-bit era of combat, but there's some nuances to it. Like, you get a limited number of skills that you can take into combat, such like that. But basically, I just spend my time fighting. There's no real maps to worry about, and the story is very minimal, if it really even matters at all. It's just trying to get stronger to fight the harder battles is all I'm really trying to do. And get
that's
better
basically,
weapons.
That's basically my approach to Final Fantasy X, too. Like, the story is just nonsense, but it's fun to level up and just get more skills and stuff like that.
It's kind of like Final Fantasy XIII, too.
Same good nonsense, it's just nonsense.
I enjoyed it, but it made absolutely no sense. Yeah, I mean, this one doesn't even really like...
The music is funky as hell, too. It's like, why?
What?
Jazz
everywhere.
I liked Final Fantasy X-2's soundtrack. I mean, it was... You know,
it's out there, though.
So? It was non-traditional.
Yeah, so,
and
I mean...
A few really good songs.
So, I would want to see in the future a Final Fantasy with a Bebop soundtrack.
How about a Final Fantasy... Actually, there's an interesting idea. You know, you had Wild Arms with the... like the country western sort of approach to it.
I want a Final Fantasy with RZA on the soundtrack.
Now, what I want to see, what I think would be interesting, is if like you had a Japanese crew, like basically do what, you know, kind of what happened with the Wild Arms or something, but instead of it being like the Wild West kind of culture, do it like a bluegrass or a Creole culture. Use that as your you know, your cultural inspiration point for writing and you know, your setting and everything. I think that would be really neat. Just basically kind of highlight something that. A facet of the world that just you never see in games. It just doesn't show up. Like the closest thing I think I've ever seen to anything Creole is Gambit, you know, in an X-Men game.
We skipped something. We skipped the Twitter questions because there actually are some Twitter questions.
Please tell me none of them are from Freak.
Oh,
does that mean Final Fantasy with like voodoo in it?
That voodoo you do?
Witch doctors.
Okay. Anyway.
Racist song.
I told witch doctor, you didn't love me true. Anyway. Okay, continue.
Yeah, those old songs, I know them all very well, and it's like, oh, that's, wow, like, That was cute.
I told the witch doctor just what to do. He told me, ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang, blah, blah, bing, bang.
So we got those nice white men in their clean white coats, they're coming to take me away, ha ha. Oh, why they gotta be white men, huh?
Fish heads, roly poly, eat them up, yum.
Hey, should we totally leave Frank out of our Deadpool discussion?
We can totally do that.
I haven't watched Deadpool.
Oh,
I guess we have.
Okay, anyways, back to Twitter. Freak actually asked us something not offensive, thank God. He asked us, what game would you like to be your life?
How dare he ask us that question? I'm offended.
I think we asked something similar to it before. We appreciate you not asking something involving murdering our families.
Or having sex with them.
And then murdering them.
Yeah. Or
and then having sex with them after you murder them.
Yeah. Because, hey.
Or like, sex with animals.
Yeah. Anyway. But, what game would you like to be your life? Saints Row 4, because apparently you're the president and everybody loves you and stuff like that, right? That's
but you're in virtual reality.
Well, your approval rating is at 20%.
Oh no, never mind.
It's not really important because the entire world gets blown up very shortly into the game.
Oh shit! Well, never mind then. Not that. That
and
guy.
It's all a VR mission anyway.
Intro 4 is awesome, though. How about Puzzle Bobble?
I don't want to be Loser Suit Larry either.
I vote that you should be in Silent Hill.
So, I have to worry about Pyramid.
How about Monkey Island? I'm going to be on Monkey Island. How's that?
That's not
Mankey Island.
Mankey. You didn't say Mankey Island.
I want to talk to the skull.
What about Ape Escape?
Actually, I know. I want to be in Dead or Alive Extreme.
I want to be a farmer.
I second that.
More than blow myself up.
I will be. Can I join you there?
Ladies, I am very good at applying lotion.
I have two hands, ladies. No. There's saying.
Like, please, lady, there's more than enough hand to go around.
We're all underage. Well, most of them.
No.
Let me see. I wouldn't want to be in the Mushroom Kingdom because touching anything, anything
aren't like
kills
Hitomi
me.
And Kasumi all like 16 or something?
No. Kasumi, Ayane was 16. I think Hitomi was 18. I want to say Kokoro might be younger.
You 18 yet? No. Okay, I'll see you.
Granted, this is all.
And then there's Mari Rose, which is like she's like 13.
Yeah. So it's all academic because these
no,
are. Yeah,
how about
these are females are definitely 18.
how about Duke Nukem? I want to be Duke Nukem. How's that?
A living misogynist.
Yeah, what's your point?
He already is. He already is a living misogynist.
Yeah. Then you'd be redundant. You have to be something else.
Shit. Okay, fine.
That's true. So you can cosplay as Duke in your other game. It's good.
Duke goes to Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball.
Oh dear. Yeah, then it's like it's no longer Zack Island. It's Duke Island.
I'm trying to think what
probably
world
work
is
out
safe.
What's that?
I'm trying to figure what world is safe. Like damn near every world will kill you. When you go into like Mario, you touch something and you're dead.
I will enter the world of
Kirby's world. He'll just eat you.
I'll go into the world of Dear Esther because nothing ever happens there.
Like I'll go into Nancy Drew games. Wait a minute, no, those are nope.
If I went to Katamari Damacy World, I'd just get rolled up in a ball.
She investigating murders, I'd probably be the victim. Let's say Tetris, but then there's like flying, there's blocks coming from the sky, like they'll crush me.
How about
Street Fighter.
yeah, I don't get my ass, get my ass kicked by Dan. Let me see, Animal Crossing, but then you're basically that dude's bitch.
I got a Chubaloop, because then I get kissed by a lot of people, probably.
How about the Infamous world, where you get to have superpowers, and then have everyone hate you for it. or you can have everyone love you for it. Depends on your behavior.
Or that prototype world where you're basically a murdering monster and just killing everything you see.
And hey, I'm down with that.
Right.
I'm totally down with that. I mean, I'm totally a monster. Just ask my stalker.
Hmm. Wow.
And that was how he greeted me on his voicemail. It's like first words out of his mouth were, "Hey, monster!" Like, which is strangely with a strangely effete tone of voice.
Monster energy drink.
Yeah, I know. It's like as it happens, I'm drinking a Monster Rehab right now. No, but anyway,
when he calls you, is he like, "Hey"?
It might as well be, for as obsessed as he seems to be.
Yeah, like, I'm not, like, I don't, that sounded, like, way more homophobic than I meant it. I meant some, like, ghetto, like.
That's racist.
Like, trashy.
That's racist.
Yeah, that's, like, that, wow.
How about going to the stretch panic world?
This came out way bad. Way wrong.
I thought you were going to say stretch pants. I'm like,
Nope. Panic is a game made by Treasure.
Yeah, I know what Panic is. It was not a good game.
You have a demon scarf that can stretch things.
How about Mass Effect? I would be cool with living in that universe.
Ooh, that is a good universe. Especially if you're Shepard.
Yeah. Hell, you don't even have to be Shepard. You can I'm in a sci-fi future, like an amazing sci-fi future. I may not have much longer to live if the Reavers show up, but I'm going to enjoy every freaking second of it.
But I'm just saying, like, if you're Shepard in the second one, you know, like, where everybody loves you and shit. Just saying, like, are you? It's the your favorite shop in the Citadel.
Yeah, this is my favorite store on the Citadel. Or then you turn in Mass Effect 3, you turn into creepy stalker Shepard who eavesdrops on conversations to get missions.
Yeah, there.
You could be the Shepard that punches the paparazzi out of the window.
There's definitely a darker tone to the third one.
She did not punch the reporter out the window. It was someone else. He did knock out of a window, but now the reporter was just got punched a few times.
No, wait, it was a stalker, wasn't it?
Well, no, there's a guy that
wants to join you.
Conrad Werner was his name, and yes, he was the fan, but no, the paparazzi is the one you punch. But yeah, basically, like the funny thing is, when you first meet that guy, the fan guy, Conrad Werner, it's like he's all stoked at everything about you. And you can meet, if I'm not mistaken, you meet him in the first game. You can talk to him across all three games, and depending on how you kind of steer him, he will he'll either survive or you'll hear about his death later.
I don't remember. I'm pretty sure it was in the first game, but I don't remember what happened to him.
It all depends on how you talk and on how you treat him. Basically, it's like if he's completely ill-equipped to be a soldier, and if you can dissuade him away from that lifestyle, then he'll survive. If not, then he'll try to be a hero, and it'll get him killed.
That's probably what I did, because I was always the paragon for the most part. Every once in a while, I'd die a couple times, get pissed, and just go rebel or whatever it was called. What's the other
Renegade.
One? Renegade, that's it, yeah. Like, God damn it, I died again. Fuck this! And Renegade, and he'd be like, fuck this! I'm like, ah, oh, cool. That's right, bro.
The jackass Shepherd. the whiny jackass Shepherd. Renegade's more of a whiner than anything else.
Renegade works far better with a female Shepherd than a male one. Just because, the acting was just better.
When I played Renegade, I used the male, and usually it just seemed pissed to me. It didn't seem like whiny, just pissed. If you use Renegade,
just constantly got a, you know, a hair up his ass about something.
Yeah, pretty much. But they're pretty funny. Pretty when he tries to be like romantic and soft. Those always came off a little awkward.
Well, the BioWare and romance do not go together. I applaud them trying to raise the bar, but they've only raised it a couple of inches.
But I mean, that's way a big improvement over most other games, like where like the biggest romance is a kiss on the cheek from Princess Peach. You know,
I'm going to be totally frank here. I'm going to say
I love Dragon Quest VIII.
Yes, Dragon Quest VIII.
No, sorry, you meant frank as in an adjective. You weren't trying to be frank.
No, that's my answer, though, because I can't think of anything else.
Oh, I see.
It's like, sure, Dragon Quest VIII. Sure, why not? Or any Dragon Quest game.
Dragon Quest VIII, Denver Broncos, football, werewolf, something, I don't know.
I'm just going to go Playboy Mansion and polygonal boobs.
Oh, wait. I'm going to be perfectly frank here. I hate trains.
Yeah. Yes, you hate trains, and you hate Kickstarter.
Perfectly frank.
What's that now?
And you hate Kickstarter.
I hate Kickstarter, I hate trains, and I love Dragon Quest VIII. I'm being perfectly frank.
Perfectly frank.
I think, I mean, that's... If it's not perfect, it's close.
I think that should be the title of this episode, is Perfectly Frank.
The guys get perfectly frank. On tonight's episode of Perfectly Frank, we have our special guest.
Well, I'll leave the episode to you then.
All right.
I have fun writing descriptions, mostly because it's like, how much can I diss Frank and not really diss him?
So anyway, let's get back to Twitter because there's a couple more lines. He says, because we talked about Five Nights at Freddy's, he says Five Nights at Freddy Got Fingered, and then he says parody of Freddy Got Fingered, Frank Got Kickstarted. And, that's all the Twitter, so we can move on now.
Finger cry.
How about A Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Freddy's Revenge Got Fingered?
Wow. Okay, awkward. I don't want to be
Five Nights at Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare.
Nobody wants to get fingered by a guy who has a claw hand.
Finger it at Freddy's 5.
Oh, God.
Fingered by Freddy's 5. Ah!
It depends on which version. The original one only has four blades. The new Nightmare one has a thumb blade, though.
Anyway, what are we up to Stinkos yet? Because we went off.
We haven't even got there. I don't have any anyway. What about you, Dude?
I have one, and I know this is. I mean, this is nothing new, and this is already probably been attacked by the internet and stuff like that. But I love when people do and say completely stupid, moronic things. But it's even better when they write them down and put them on the internet. This comes from The Guardian. San Francisco tech worker says some really offensive stuff about homeless people. And I'm just going to go ahead and start with what he said. First paragraph. I'm writing today to voice my concern and outrage over the increasing homeless and drug problem that the city is faced with. I've been living in San Francisco for over 3 years, and without a doubt is the worst it has ever been. Every day on my way to and from work, I see people sprawled across the sidewalk, tent cities, human feces, and the faces of addiction. The city is becoming a shantytown. Worst of all, it is unsafe. Which, you know, I don't see anything really offensive that was said in that first paragraph. Do you guys?
It could be worded a little better, but it's
right.
I mean, it's nothing too overtly offensive yet.
Right.
I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah. Second paragraph. The residents of this amazing city no longer feel safe. I know people are frustrated about gentrification happening in the city, but the reality is we live in a free market society. The wealthy working people have earned their right to live in the city. They went out, got an education, work hard, and earned it. And yes, he said work hard, so he obviously...
And then they kept it that way.
After saying got an education, work hard, instead of saying worked hard, and earned it. And of course you shouldn't end with it in the sentence, so nice on that education, buddy. I shouldn't have to worry about being accosted. I shouldn't have to see the pain, struggle, and despair of homeless people to and from my way to work every day. I want my parents, when they come to visit, to have a great experience and enjoy this special place. What do you guys think of that second paragraph?
It sounds like he needs to be hit in a special place.
Yep.
Yeah, he amped up a little bit. Now here's where we get to the best part. In the third paragraph, I don't have a magic solution. It is a very difficult and complex situation. But somehow, during Super Bowl, almost all of the homeless and riffraff seem to be up and vanish. I'm willing to bet that that was not a coincidence. Money and political pressure can make change. It is time to start making progress, or we citizens will make a change in leadership and elect new officials who can.
Let's see.
Yeah.
He seems like, he seems pleasant. Like, you know, the kind of guy that you really want to have at your dinner party.
So he wants all the homeless people to vanish.
Maybe if he actually realized that rich people like him are why poor people exist. Because yeah. they keep them that way.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
I believe in working hard and getting good paying job, but I also know that rich people want to stay rich, and they're going to establish systems to keep it that way and make sure poor people never become like them. Because yeah. their own livelihood at stake if they don't do something about that. Because yeah. they're selfish assholes.
Money makes yeah. the homeless disappear.
Yeah.
Money also makes rich people less moral.
money makes the homeless disappear in the sense that you just tend not to notice them.
Mm.
That's what's happening with Flint.
Yeah, it's like that thing that I saw. There was a political cartoon. It's like, you know, I've invented an invisibility cloak. It's like, oh, really? Let's see. And he holds up a cardboard sign that says, "Homeless, please help." So where'd you go? I'm like, that's pretty good.
It's
super effective.
It's not often that they put it on the internet when somebody says something really stupid. Usually we catch it on video and it's reported on the news. But I thought
also people in general don't help the homeless just because A, they probably don't have money to spare. B, they know if they gave money to every homeless person they walk across, they'd be penniless.
Yep. I mean, this is the simple fact that especially with the fact that the middle class is, you know, shrinking more and more rapidly every day, most people literally can't afford to. I mean, like, we're at the point nowadays where most people have to struggle at least a little to just to maintain a life, any sort of decent lifestyle.
Yeah.
I mean, my wife and I were basically working poor, like most everyone else in the country is right now.
I'm living on paycheck to paycheck, pretty yeah. much. I'm hardly investing or even putting money into a savings account.
Yeah, that's the thing. Most people I know are in that boat.
When our grandparents were around, most grandparents, you know, usually it was like the husband would go to work, the woman stayed home, and they could afford to live.
Yeah, and they could afford to live pretty well, but it's like the cost yeah. of living has risen. But the
I need to set up my Patreon because having even just $500 extra a month.
And just because I know, because I'm the misogynist, I wasn't talking about the woman staying home. I just meant that only one person was going to work and they lived comfortably. That's what I was saying.
Back in those days, that was the women stayed home. That was the status quo.
I know. I just wanted to.
No, it's like that's
really quickly.
So they had to work.
All you made was a factual statement about you made a statement about historical fact. You didn't throw any opinion in there. You just stated a fact. Like it was the women stayed home, the men went to work, and whether that was right or not is academic right. to the fact that it happened.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with any woman who chooses to stay home, chooses to be a housewife. I don't think anybody should judge a woman for that either.
Yeah, she's definitely not doing internalized misogyny.
Yeah.
No, that's the thing. It's like,
that'd only be true if she believed that it was the only worthwhile lifestyle for
yes,
a woman.
Yes, and I've met women who did think that way. And I was like, God, I hate my sister is... She's an extremely intelligent and successful woman. I mean, she's far wealthier. You know, she's well up there toward, the genuine upper class. Wow. She's like, what you call like upper middle class, I guess.
You should get her to invest in the show.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. She and I could not be more different from each other. she is the, you know, she's very much into the woo, and she's the, you know, Bible believing Christian, and she's all about, you know, like this, oh, you know, you need to, you know, eat these foods to reduce, you know, to make so your body isn't alkaline, and, you know, and Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz and,
oh god,
and
Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz,
Joel Osteen gets, you know, gets a healthy chunk of her money.
Who's Joel Osteen?
Joel Osteen he's like
TV
a mega
evangelist.
Yeah, he's a televangelist mega preacher.
Never heard of him. Okay,
an unbelievably wealthy man who pays no taxes whatsoever.
Lovely.
Yeah, and you know he's one of those pushing the prosperity gospel. It's like God wants you to be rich. I'm like, that's not what the Bible says anywhere. Bible, yeah, it's like, and it's
low. My mom actually,
I would read the Bible.
I have a needle. Yeah, it's like, you know, it was like, it's easier for Jesus, according to the Bible, said, you know, it's easier for a rich man to, you know, rather it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven.
Well, he's going to have a hell of a time when he dies then, isn't he?
Yeah, and it's just, but I don't understand, you know, like she and I were raised under more or less the same circumstances. I mean, we both had, you know, my parents split up when I was 10 and she was 13. So, you know, we grew up with an unbroken home for the most part. But it's like, I just don't understand. It boggles my mind how someone as intelligent as she is can be just kind of just blind herself to facts as long, you know, this fact is inconvenient or it doesn't make me feel good. Ergo, it doesn't exist. That sums up a great deal of her approach to life. And
it's so strange to me how people grow up together and end up so different.
Yeah. You know, I mean, and she's much closer in personality to my mother than my father. I'm closer to my father. So I don't know. It's like, it's one of those things where I have to wonder, how much of that was nature and how much of it was nurture? Like, if things had played out differently, might I have been, you know, and not, I don't mean like things were, you know, our physiologies were different or anything like that, but if events in our lives had played out differently, might I have been the believer and she been the atheist?
Maybe.
Yeah, and that's, I don't know. I don't know how much of that is due to, like, you know, hardwiring in the brain or just like just neuroplasticity of how it changes as you experience things.
Well, I mean, like you said, depending on your influence too. If you're getting influenced by different people and you're looking up to somebody who's religious, you're more likely going to be.
Well, that was the thing. I didn't have an outside influence that was like, you know, there's no God or anything like that. It was just when I was younger, I was like,
but did you have somebody like saying that, like, that you were looking up to who was?
Oh yeah. My parents were both very religious when I was younger. Okay. And it was like, you know, just I was raised Southern Baptist, so it was very, you know, it was very evangelical kind of approach. So, but I mean, it was just when I was younger, it was just like this. This doesn't.
I didn't have any really strong influences in my family that leaned me either way. I just kind of went with the flow because that's what the family did. And when I got old enough, I decided. I really didn't care about this stuff anymore, but I decided to keep going to church because I thought that's what being a good son was. And then I got older and realized that was bullshit. So, and my parents did have a problem with it for a while, but they got over it.
Mm. Yeah, well, it was basically that was kind of the problem that I had with my mother was that, you know, she could never accept that I wasn't the clone that she wanted me to be. Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, I'm sorry, you know, it's like I don't have your mind. I have my mind, and my mind says this is bullshit. You know, and you know, she could never accept that, you know, she wasn't going to, you know, have that kind of influence on me.
I played with the idea of deism for like about a week until I realized deism was really not much better than atheism, so why not just go full atheism?
Yeah. It's Dio's.
It's like, what's the difference between believing in a god, but that the god's dead, and God not existing?
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially deism is kind of like splitting the difference between theism and atheism, and it's like, yeah, deism is, you know, people are like, oh, it's like, you do you believe in God? Oh, I'm agnostic, so no, you know, that's, you know, it says I don't know is still no. Like, do you believe in God? Well, it's, your answer is not a yes, so it's a no.
When I hear agnostic, I just think of that South Park episode, because that's the best.
But
there
it's
may,
like, you know, people
may not be a god.
I don't know, but I want deity insurance, so maybe.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like, you know, but then, you know, deism is more of an actual middle ground between theism and atheism. It's like, yeah, there's, yeah, it's like, there's some divine influence here, but I don't think there's a, you know, there's a god actively messing with everything. You know, it's essentially what deism boils down to. But I don't know. It just seems, it all seems very silly to me. Like, I just get, like, I'll look at stuff and I'm thinking, like, I'll see people just, you know, when, especially when they get really worked up over it, and I just think, you don't really believe a word of that. It's like, you're fucking with me. I just,
but isn't that what Christians say about how atheists just want to sin all the time?
It's not even just that. It's just, it's like, what you're saying, it's not that it's like, oh, it offends me, or it offends the my moral values, or it offends that, you know, this thing that I believe is real is obviously real, and you, how can you not see it? It's more the, what you're saying makes no sense. It's like, you're basically, you're, it's like, you're arguing that, you know, the world is made of lollipops, essentially. I think, you know, there's, like, you can say that, you might even believe it. But if you take even, you know, a casual look at it, that's very obviously not true. You're either lying or you're deluded. And that's kind of that's pretty much the point I've reached with that kind of thing. Like, because there's no rational way you can get, like, you can't get to, I believe X is true.
Based I have on no the reason to believe in this thing, therefore I'm not going to believe in this thing.
Well, it's not even that I'm not going to. It's like, I have no reason to believe in this thing, ergo I don't believe in it. It's like, I don't, you know, it's not something I had a choice in. It's like, you know, do you believe the moon is made of cheese? It's like, well, what I understand about plants is that they're made of rock. So
no.
Probably not. No, I don't believe the moon is made of cheese.
It'd be a stale cheese by now.
Given that cheese is produced by the specialized sweat that we call milk formed by mammals, you know, a very specific set of the animal kingdom, I very much doubt that there was enough milk out there to make that much cheese.
So you don't think it was a giant space goat? We made moon out of space.
He must have been riding on the turtle, right?
Yeah,
the turtle from Discworld.
No, just like the old thing about how the, you know, turtles all the way down.
Yeah, I know that. But I was thinking of the turtle from Discworld when you said that.
Mm. And, you know, it's when I see people talking about this stuff, it makes me want to throw a Nerf nuke at them.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah, is a Nerf nuke just like a bomb that just shoots out a bunch of Nerf missiles?
When I mentioned it before, I wasn't kidding. This is like a real product. It shoots out 80 darts in all directions.
I want to get that.
It looks like a volleyball with cloves stuck in, like, you know, like cloves. Like clothes, cigarettes, clothes that you'd like, you know, you remember how you're like, your mom might do that thing where she would, like take a slice an orange in half and stick cloves into it. And then like, and boil that, like, and boil that over in the holidays. Like, oh, it makes the house smell nice. And it's like, it's maybe something that, a little bit earlier for you guys, but,
I would like to use that during like Black Friday when people are rushing in, just throw one in the middle.
And everybody hit the ground. We're under attack. It's terrorists. It's like, and everybody gets, oh no, my eye! It's like, the terrorist put my eye out. Nerferous.
Terrorist took our jaws.
But yeah, I mean, could you imagine being able to actually set off a few of those things, like in a you know, in a crowded public place? People, and I'm guaranteeing you, the sound it makes is probably more like a, you know, not a bang. Yeah. But people would be like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, I've been shot like 8 times in the face, but you know, but I'm mysteriously okay. It's like, am I bleeding? No, but my eye is a little stinging a little bit.
I'm still calling the police.
Yeah, I'm like, that's, man, if you actually did pull something like that off, you would get so arrested these days.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Like, you know, once upon a time it would have been like, it's just a prank. You know, it's like, yeah, you might have gotten arrested for, like, you know, disturbing the peace or something like that, being a public nuisance. But
more than likely,
now,
I would have got a stern talking to.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you,
I'm white. If I was black, they would
maybe.
Hand.
Yeah, maybe, it, you know, maybe a mild fine. But nowadays, if anyone did that, it'd be like, you have just basically you've committed assault on on 800 people.
No, you're going to jail for a long time.
Like, yes, have you ever, it's like, tell me, son, have you ever heard of a place called Gitmo? Like, it was just a Nerf. It's a toy.
Son, do you know what waterboarding is? Do you know what, have you ever heard of prison rape?
I was going to say, have you ever heard the word cornhole used as a verb?
Oh, boy. Like, I don't even think we've got the stinkos yet, have we?
Son, you heard about that whole dropping the soap in the shower. That doesn't matter. You're going to get raped everywhere. Sorry.
And we do mean everywhere. I don't just mean location.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I do have a stinko.
Go for it.
What, getting raped in the shower?
I know.
No, no, not that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was awkward.
It's like, you got raped in the shower. No, not that. That was okay. What
I'm talking about this. But someone died recently. He's a game developer. I have a retweet of it.
Oh, I think I saw that. The guy who had working on
the guy from M2.
Oh, I didn't hear that. That's sad.
He died at 43.
Ooh, yeah, that sucks.
Hack or something, or.
And in case you didn't know, M2 was a developer that largely specializes in emulation of games. So they do lots of ports. And their ports are usually just pure emulations. And they did all the Sega 3D Classic stuff. And he was like one of the bigger guys over there.
43 of a heart attack, huh?
Sucks.
Yeah, that's usually either really bad health.
Yeah, Akira Saito.
Or drugs.
It could just be a congenital heart issue.
That's true. That's there's also that. That's
actually, he died of cancer.
Oh, cancer?
So fuck cancer.
Ooh,
again.
Fuck, that sucks. I'm just saying, like, if they die young of a heart attack, usually it's a lot of cocaine in your younger years.
Actually, I knew a friend of mine. He had a friend who died at age 20 of a heart attack.
It was a congenital
heart defect. It's like something was wrong, like a weak, like a thin spot in one of, like in his aorta or something. And it just went, and he went to bed one night and just didn't wake up again.
That sucks. Those are rare, but those are like, they're terrible because they happen out of nowhere. Somebody who seems perfectly healthy in every way just suddenly is dead.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so, wow, that's a positive note.
Stinkos.
Well, yeah.
Well, it is stinkos, so.
Oh, thank God we weren't on Sweetos. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Any more stinkos to add? Anything else to so far?
Your car being totaled.
Yeah, that was me. My wife was in an accident a couple weeks ago, and it wasn't too terribly severe a wreck. At least it did not appear to be, but there was frame damage. So it's like, we would have to fix this and this and this and this and this, and the car is only worth this. So we're not getting the car back, and we're waiting to see like what's like, you know, they're going to total it out. We have to see how much it's going to be and get a new car. And my favorite part of this is still keep paying on the previous loan.
How long you had that car?
3 years.
They are not going to give you a lot of money.
Nope.
That sucks.
Yep. I got nearly $10,000 from my last car.
From totaling it?
Yeah.
Well, how long did you have it?
I'm going to say about 4 or 5, maybe.
Who's your insurance?
Yeah, damn, dude.
Glacier Insurance. They're a local insurance
company. Oh, that's why. That's probably
I was going to say, like, you would never get that at State Farm or Geico or whatever. That just doesn't
happen. No, maybe it wasn't 10,000. Maybe it was, like, I think it was, like, closer to 7,000.
That's still a lot.
That is a lot to get out of an insurance.
He's more like looking at like 3 or 2, between 2 and 3.
I can't even remember, but I remember having to pay at least 5,000 to get the car to replace it. And that meant going out on a loan that I had to pay over a course of 4 years. I've paid that loan off like 2 years ago, I think.
Nice. Yeah, it
although
was...
my car is slowly falling apart because I have to change up the brakes now, and I had to get fixed because I had to have something else that was wrong with it, and the paint's chipping off, and or now all the lacquer that's giving it the sheen is coming off, so now it's just going to rust soon.
Well, the brakes probably should be replaced like every 4 or 5 years anyway.
Brake pads.
Yeah.
Not brake. But yeah, it's about time for the brakes, so I gotta get this fixed. I just haven't had a good time because I've never had money.
Yeah.
And my parents are probably gonna have to help pay for that thing.
Yeah. And the what's interesting about this whole thing is that the car that we have or had, we got a loan. So my father had co-signed on it with me, and he died last year.
Right.
So it was, and I never did contact them and say like, he's gone. So I don't know how that has to change your paperwork. So it's like, if something were to happen for whatever reason, if I had to default on the loan or something, it's like, well, it's not like it could screw up my dad's credit now because he's not exactly around around anymore to care about it. But I would still prefer not to do that. It just sucks because I still have, I still have 3 years worth of loan to pay off.
Right. I wonder if that would affect your mom's credit.
I doubt it because her name was, my dad and my mom have not had anything to do with each other for decades.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
I mean,
they
divorced. I'm 40. I'm almost 42. It's like I'm turning 42 in 2 weeks roughly.
You've said the divorce before. I don't know what I was thinking.
But that was like 32 years ago. So.
Yeah, you said it earlier in this episode. I don't know what's going on with me right now.
Because you never listen to me, Break. You never fucking listen.
What?
I'm getting you ready for what a relationship is going to be like. at least if you treat your girlfriends the way that you treat me.
No, that will not be a long relationship.
I think we're running up over 2 hours
at
this point.
You need to at least learn to pretend like you're paying attention and care.
Yeah. Yeah, we are running kind of long, though.
If you want your relationship to go past a week. If you just want to, score and move on.
The other thing that I was going to mention is a Snake-O. Far less significant, but Unity sucks, and I don't think I'm ever going to buy another game that uses Unity again. Because I've seen two games that, programmed in Unity that ran well, and they were not demanding at all, but every other game I've seen in Unity is garbage. Like, just in terms of performance, it's like, wow, this is just horribly unoptimized engine, and unless I have a really strong PC.
You know what else
PC.
Uses Unity? The iOS and Android port of Dragon Quest VIII.
Oh, nice. Yeah, Corp.
And you know, the developers of that game were actually Tozei, so they went cheap.
Oh, wow, yeah, they did.
Used a shitty engine to make a game.
But yeah, it's like,
apparently they couldn't get the source code
and charged $20 for it.
Party Blood Drive was Unity. It ran like shit. Layers
it
of Fear
was Unity.
Yes, Corpse. But Layers of Fear is Unity. It runs like shit. Both of the Slender games were Unity, and they ran like shit. And it's like, it's bad enough.
You do good things with Unity too. It's just nobody ever does because
well, the thing
incredibly
is,
hard to.
I mean, Firewatch after the patch runs well. It had frame rate issues initially, but the patch fixed just about all of them. Roshard was Unity, and it ran well.
It's like RPG Maker, if RPG Maker was somehow even worse than it is.
I mean, it's just, I don't get it. And it's like, you can't not know how this runs.
Unity is becoming your Kickstarter.
Well, the thing is, except it's, the problem is, unlike Frank's, big problem with Kickstarter, I've wasted money on Unity games.
No, I'm not saying there's irrational thoughts behind it. I'm just saying it's like
it's becoming an axe to grind. Let's put it that way.
Yes.
I'm very annoyed at that engine and developers who use it and don't actually try to make a game run well. I'm like, okay, do you remember Outlast?
Mm-hmm.
Like the game, it was a very nice looking game. Ran,
I have it on PS4 as part of Plus. So yeah, I haven't played it yet.
And but it's like it runs very, very smoothly. Like, because it was like that was the game, the first game I had, because I didn't, you know, when I first got the system, I didn't have the money to buy, you know, a retail game to go with it. But I had the money to get the system. I was like, well, while I've got the money, I'm going to go ahead and get it. And I got, and I had PlayStation Plus already, so I was like, okay, I've got Outlast, I'll play that. And I was like, wow, this game looks amazing. You know, it runs smoothly, it looks really nice, and then it's like, but like Layers of Fear looks kind of like Pete, like in its aesthetic, looks kind of like Outlast or PT, and both of those games ran really well. Layers of Fear runs like shit. And I was just, I spent $20 on this game, and I don't know if I'll be able to actually play it because the sway of everything and the frame rate makes me ill.
Does it work better on the PC though?
So it's like a constipated shit, like it's kind of stuck and not coming out.
Pretty much, like the game needs an enema. The game needs an enema.
Wow.
But yeah, I was just
that is a box quote if I've ever heard one.
This game needs an enema.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, that's it for me. And we do all have a Sweeto, and that Frank is not here. So woohoo! Yeah, it's party time. Break. Do you have a Sweeto?
It was 60 degrees today. It's gonna be 60 degrees tomorrow, and it's still fucking February. I love it when fucking early spring happens.
Yeah, well.
Which, welcome, I know it's going to get cold again and shit like that, but
welcome,
this just
means
welcome
to climate change. You're going to see, like, more and more of this shit, and all the seasons are going to get more and more wonky. It's like, what's funny is, like, this is, you know, all these, you know, the weather has gotten weirder and weirder over the course of my adult life. I'm like, this, you know, the weather didn't work like this when I was a kid. And it's like, and every year it gets more and more bizarre in how the, you know, and just in how the weather behaves.
The weather around here is kind of bizarre. It's always been like this. Like, some years that we get really cold winters, and then some years we'll get, like, just kind of warmish winters. And, there's early springs, and there's sometimes it'll snow in May.
Yeah, but, like, you're getting things where, like, southern states are getting hot winter days. Like, that's not supposed to happen.
It is 51 here.
Yeah, like, it's still in the middle of winter. You know, we're still,
and it was only 8 degrees only a couple days ago in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we're still a month out from the actual beginning of spring, and
yeah, such a cool roller coaster.
Hey, I remember days where, like,
can't even get used to them.
I remember winters where I didn't even need to get my coat out, and then I remember winters like just last year where it was so fucking cold.
It's cold right now. It's a global morning. It must be a myth.
Wearing two jackets and like a coat because it's fucking like one degree out before wind chill.
That kind of shit happens everywhere. The thing that doesn't happen is that sort of thing happening in the over the course of 2 days, and that's what's been going on, where the temperatures will fluctuate so, you know, dramatically over the course of just of a very short period of time,
which has got to be hell on people's like fucking sinuses and allergies too,
and you know, I'm sure it's fucking up a lot of animals.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, hibernating,
like, extreme
animals.
Extreme like weather changes aren't good for anybody.
Yeah, so it's interesting. Like, and another interesting thing is that extreme weather fluctuations cause, you know, they put a lot more strain on buildings and stuff like that, because the metal expands as it heats and contracts as it shrinks. And then, like, as it keeps doing this, it loses structural integrity as it does this. But it's like, the more frequently it happens, then the worse the damage. So stuff is going to have to be replaced more and more frequently
especially older buildings.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, look, more resources being used to, you know, to deal with an issue that we've created, essentially. But did you have any Sweetos there, Eric?
Not really.
I'm not much of a Sweeto sort of mood right now. So.
The news, most of the news pissed me off. It's election season's fucking just, we're right in the midst of it. It's the early beginning of fucking the shit storm that we were going to have to deal with. like, I hate that. And then, like, Apple and the fucking government are fighting. And, you know, it's just like, fuck. The government wants to destroy our privacy completely. What a shock there. They're like, no, just it's this one device. Right, we're going to give you the technology to break our device. Right. Right.
Yeah, and it's like, and it's not as if, you know, anyone's ever heard of the word precedent before.
Right. This and like accusations, like some people want to call it treason and stuff like that. No, like, you don't understand. Like, the government's like if you're afraid of like the government getting into your privacy, like give them the ability to break into your smartphone. Like, there's a good idea.
Yeah, that's like, yeah. And that it's that same old bullshit that comes up. It's like, well, if you're not hiding anything, you don't have any reason. You know, if you don't have nothing to hide, then why are you hiding it? Then you don't have to worry about privacy. It's like, you can tell that to the government. Yeah. Like,
well,
you know,
I don't hide my poop either, but I don't want you standing there when I'm taking a shit. Yeah. You know? Like,
Big Brother is watching.
I know.
Like, I can't pee when someone's watching.
And like the government, one of the arguments is just this phone. We just want you to open this phone, with the same technology that's in all the other phones, right? Yeah. Just this phone, right? Right.
Yeah. How about
it works. Just this one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's a load of horseshit.
Yeah. It is a complete load of horseshit. I'm not usually an Apple supporter. I mean, I'm an Android guy and stuff like this, but Apple, I'm 120 billion% behind you on this one.
Well, they've said they wouldn't, you know, refuse to comply. They're just, you know, it's like, you know, we'll do it, but we're doing it under protest.
Yeah. Like, it's absolutely horse shit. And Apple is completely right in this, and anybody who's supporting the government needs to stop and think. Like, this isn't just one phone they get access to. And not only that, like, our government isn't the best at, like, keeping things from the hackers and such like that. So once the government has it, then if you don't think everybody else is going to have it, you're out of your mind. You know? So, like, once they give up the information, like, it's done for them. Like, they're going to have to start everything over pretty much. And it's done for everybody else who already has their technology, you know?
Yeah. He's harsh shit.
Yes. I do say, it is nice that I will reiterate, I've said I do love being an American so I can say my government is fucking bullshit and get away with it.
Well, at least I know I'm free.
I know my government's a total load of horseshit. And there's nothing I can do about it. And
we need to wrap this up.
It sucks and everything else, but at least
there ain't no doubt. I love this land. God bless my lightsaber.
I want to get mine out now.
Is it a light sword like Kylo Ren's?
No, it's just the old Darth Vader Force Effects one.
Those are amazing lightsabers. Have you ever seen one, Eric?
No.
You should go online and check them out. They're amazing. I love them.
They're expensive now.
Yeah, I know. I wish I'd bought more because I shouldn't have played with the ones I had because now it's like, oh, these aren't in great shape, and now, oh, shit. Like, now they're... Yeah.
The original Luke one is worth like $1,200 on Amazon.
Yeah. It's one of the ones I unfortunately didn't get. I didn't get that one. I wanted to get that one, and I wanted to get Mace Windu's just because it was purple. But I'm like, oh, this one's way different. It's purple. Yeah.
All right. Well,
but after I bought a few of them, I'm like, wow, I've spent way too much money on these.
Yeah. It's like, I should have bought the those decorative, like those replica swords from the Lord of the Rings.
Is that worth a fortune now, I'm guessing?
I have no idea, but I liked them, and they, you know, like, they, these were, like, you know, decorative things that you could put up on the wall. It's like,
And stuff playing with them, I'm just like, oh, that looks nice. That's good.
Well,
dust
they were actually,
while, but...
you know, it's like, the thing was, these are real swords. You know, it's like, you play with them, you have to kill somebody.
Ooh.
Possibly yourself.
Ooh, whoopsie.
Yeah. It's like, I think I've just killed my son with Glamdring. Send help.
Mm. I have a friend who was playing with one of those swords, and he dropped it on his foot.
Ow.
Yeah. He was trying to look cool.
Yeah, like, how did that work out for him?
Yeah, it didn't work out so well. He's fine though. It didn't like permanently injure him. There's no limps or anything like that.
Yeah, only his pride was
right, exactly. Only his pride and the embarrassment of having to go to a hospital.
Yeah. Only his pride suffered lasting damage. All right. Anything else, or
no,
are we about to wrap up?
The show.
Yeah, we're running a little bit behind here.
This is the tangent episode. Yeah. This is this is Frank's fault. What were we going to call this episode? Frankly, or something.
Perfectly frank.
To be perfectly frank.
There's our title.
To be perfectly frank, this is your fault, Frank.
To be perfectly frank, you should have been here.
This is your fault for not being here, Frank. Just because you want to go get money in Vegas. Yeah, some bitch. Not even inviting us to Vegas. I see how it is. We know you're listening, Frank.
Yeah, of course we do.
We know.
All right.
End the show. Let's end the show. We'll plug this with, you can follow me at @break_man and at RP Grinders. And we'd like to thank
thank Chris for not showing up and being our special guest.
Well, no, I talked to him on Twitter. He had something to do. He was out with coworkers.
Oh, likely story.
That's work. Look, man, work comes first. I understand. Like you, it's fun to hang out with coworkers after work, but it's also kind of essential to the job every once in a while. Like you really like need to bond with coworkers. It's cool. But follow him at Let's Chat Podcast or at Let's Chat Podcast. Yeah, that.
Edit. Start over.
Let's Chat Podcast.
Wait, no, wait. Start over. Welcome to the RP Grinders. Yeah.
Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of RP Grinders. We are live, kind of. No, not so much. We're recorded. Damn it.
We are live. Never mind.
Ooh, awkward.
Yeah, let's just...
You guys have any plugs? The show.
Oh, you can find me on Twitter at @MoriaMug, MoriaMug. You can find Eric on Twitter at @EricRPG, and you can find his reviews on Boston Bastard Brigade and TotallyGN.com. Did I miss any, Eric?
Yeah, GameTactics.com.
Game Tactics. On GameTactics.com, and VogNetwork.com, on GameTactics.com, and VogNetwork.com, which I totally said in the same breath as before. No, there's no editing required.
Editing?
Wait, you're not doing anything for All Games Network? Oh, wait, too soon? No.
All Games? No.
No, not too soon. A long time ago, so it's good.
Well, what? Oh, I don't know what that website is.
All right, I think that's probably wrap this one up.
Yes, if there was a shark, we jumped it probably at least a half hour ago.
Okay, so in lieu of Frank being around, I will play us out. Diddly 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 diddly